Tonight, I want to talk for just a few moments, if I could. I go do some things that I don't normally do. Like, for instance, you'll notice I have 0 points tonight for the screen. Zero points tonight. I do have a point, okay? But there's not going to be anything on the screen, per se, for you to write down. Tonight is less of a sermon and more of a Bible study chat, if you will. And I want to talk about this. And I'm sorry for the title. I couldn't help myself, okay? Unmasking our greatest threat. Unmasking our greatest threat. Would you stand with me tonight and let's look at Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to look at verse number 15 together and then jump to James chapter number 4 and verse number 10. The Bible says this: "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." James chapter number 4 and verse 10. James chapter 4 and verse number 10. If we could put that on the screen for us. I want you to read this one in unison with me. Ready? "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Father, I pray that you take these few moments tonight and that you would speak to us through your word. I pray that our hearts would be open. That, Father, some things that are very relevant for the day and age in which we live, but, Father, some things that are hard for us to hear because of our human condition. I ask, though, that you bless us, that you give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what you would have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So consider with me tonight the reality that the landscape around us is changing fast. That as you see the world around you and you watch the news and you hear what comes from people and you see things on the internet and social media, that a lot of times it's hard to know what's true. It's even harder to know what's best. And in reality, this tidal wave, this tsunami of stuff that has been thrown our way has created some rather not so humorous, illogical inconsistencies that come from all sides of the octagon. I say octagon at this point because it's not both sides of the aisle. This is an all-out brawl at this point, all right? Like, I love, and I just scratch my head when somebody will post something online along the lines of, "Watch out for fake news. Don't believe what the fake news is telling you. But quick, watch this 5-minute video from somebody who says he's a doctor down in Arkansas before Facebook removes it." You feel me? "Don't believe what you hear, but quick, believe this." Or this one, these are my favorite. Have you noticed, like, on your phones, you got, like, that tracker software now, and you got, like, this and this and this and this and all this going on? My favorite is when I see people on the internet who talk about how, "You know what, the government's not going to track me, buddy. They may try to track me through my phone, and they may try to track me through my credit card, and they may try to track me here and here and here and here, but no siree, the government's not going to track me." And they post it on Facebook. And I'm like, hello, Mr. Zuckerberg is a billionaire because he's been tracking and selling you for the last 10 years. What do you mean you don't want to be tracked? But we hear this stuff. And if you look beyond the surface, you look beyond the surface of all of it, you'll find what I really believe is our greatest threat. I'm going to tell you, COVID aside, the church, the threat that we're talking about tonight is a great spiritual threat to the church. It infects our pulpits. and our pews. It seeks to undermine the unity and effectiveness of the church for the glory and gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you, our greatest threat, the greatest threat that we face is spelled P-R-I-D-E. Pride. 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 I'm going to tell you, there's a big problem with pride. You know, one of the issues is pride can take many, many forms. Sometimes it's blazing out in front. Many times it's hidden secretly in the heart. One of the other issues with pride is it's so hard to detect. Somebody has likened pride to bad breath. It's one of those things that, like, everybody around you knows but you. It can be hard to detect. I'm going to tell you, some of you even now are thinking, boy, I'm so glad he's talking about this. I sure hope so-and-so's listening. P-R-I-D-E. You know, while pride can come in many forms, we have to understand that pride always comes at a high cost. You know, what was it that was the root of Lucifer's fall? His rebellion. It was pride. We see Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse number 12. The Bible says this: "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Look at what he said, verse number 13: "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mountain of the congregations in the side of the north." In other words, the devil, Satan, Lucifer said, "I'm going to be like God." P-R-I-D-E. You know, what was at the heart of the fall of man? The fall of man, back in Genesis chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible says this: "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Let me ask you, what was at the heart of man's fall? P-R-I-D. If there is one thing that can rip this church apart faster than anything else, if there is one thing that can rip your home apart faster than anything else, I know, when I went like this and said one thing, I actually had two fingers up. I know, okay? I know. You got to work with me, all right? There's one thing. I got it now. Oh, boy. You know what it is, church? That'll leave us bankrupt faster than anything else. Say it with me. What is it?
Pride.
You know what? If there's contention in the body, if there's contention in the home, if there's contention at the workplace, if there's contention in the neighborhood, you know what it is? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10, "Only by pride cometh contention." Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know what? Pride brings shame. Proverbs 16 and verse number 18 puts it this way: "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Church, we have to understand the greatest threat that we face is not COVID-19. The greatest threat that we face is not financial reversal. The greatest threat that we face that can leave us bankrupt deeper than anything else is for us in the pulpit and for us in the pew to allow our hearts to be filled with pride. You know, there's a big problem with pride. But there's help for the humble. Isn't that what the Bible says? James chapter number 4 and verse number 6. He says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith," say it with me, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So how do we respond? It's a big, messy world out there. How do we respond? How can we respond? Let me give you very briefly a filter that can help you to respond humbly and biblically to any situation that we face. COVID-19, masks, your marriage, your workplace, on and on it goes. Number one here, well, see, I don't have an outline, but now I have an outline. That's what preachers do. Humble yourself before the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Number one, humble yourself before the Lord. You know what pride says? Pride says, I am better than that. Pride says, I don't deserve this. Pride says, I am the exception to the rule. Pride says, I'm smarter than that. Pride says, I and I, only I know what is really true. Pride says, hold on, you can't make me. Pride says, I have my rights. Pride says, you can't control me. Pride says, I. You know what humility says? Humility says, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do? And you fill in any and every situation. And I'm going to tell you, you start first by humbling yourself before God. Before God Almighty. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 puts it this way. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, one of the questions that I have been asked over and over and over again about what we're going through and you know, when do we take measures and when do we not take measures and when do we obey the government and when do we not obey the government and where do we draw the line? Can I just be honest? Just try to be honest with you tonight about this. If we wonder where we should draw the line, I'm going to tell you, the lines are pretty clear. About there are things in this world and there are things when it comes to our relationship with God and our worship at a church, there are things that can change. There are things that can be adapted. There are things that we can do differently. There are things that must never change. And those lines are very, very, very clear. And in love, I want to tell you tonight, if we are having trouble distinguishing where those lines are, it's probably because we need to spend less time on Facebook and more time with our face in the book. Because this is where the lines are clearly drawn, in the Word of God. And we start with, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm afraid sometimes that we immediately kind of bow up with the, you can't make me. And that might be very American, but it is very much not Christ-like. And that sentiment from a heart is more wicked than it is worship. So the first filter we have to put anything through is that we humble ourselves before the Lord. And we ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? Let me tell you the second filter we put it through. Humble yourself to the benefit of others. Christian life is not about me. The Christian life, as it's lived out practically, is really about we. You look at the New Testament and over and over and over and over and over again, you see the phrase one another and the responsibilities that we have one to another. Tremendous responsibilities. Let me just kind of pull a couple passages. We could do probably about a dozen. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5 puts it this way. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Jump to verse number 10. It says this. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In other words, I put your desire, I put your need, I put your wants ahead of myself. Verse number 16 says this, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low or weaker estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That one of the tremendous responsibilities that we have one to another is not to sit in our corner and think we've got it right and everybody else needs to get on board, but to in love prefer one another. Well, they're just weak. They don't get it. Can I tell you? The Bible specifically says if there's one of a low estate, if one that is weaker, that we condescend to them. You know, what did Paul say? Paul said concerning the matter of meat that went on in his day and age, that you know what? If eating meat caused a brother to stumble, that he wouldn't eat meat again until the kingdom of God. I mean, he just wouldn't do it. To condescend to men of low estate. You know, Philippians chapter number 2 puts it this way. Verse number 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness. That's humility. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What is our example for that? Verse number 5, that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That just as Jesus did that for us, He lowered Himself for us, He suffered for us, He took all of that upon Him for us, that we in then turn have that responsibility one to another. So you see, we have that privilege then to follow the example of Jesus Christ and to lay down our rights. Hold on. To follow the example of Jesus Christ and to lay down our rights to benefit our brothers and sisters. We have that privilege. Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. He says, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So here's what we do. No matter what situation, you and your wife aren't getting along at home. Siblings, brothers aren't getting along. Sisters aren't getting along. Co-workers aren't getting along. We're struggling with what's going on from our government. You know, across the board. Number one, humble yourself before the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? Number two, humble yourself to benefit others. Ask, Lord, in this situation, how can I be a blessing to those around me? Because at the end of the day, humility before God, humility before others, humility brings blessing to you. You know, we teach our kids joy in the Christian life. How do we achieve joy in the Christian life? We've all heard it in the little junior church lessons. What is it? The J stands for Jesus. Jesus first. The J stands for Jesus. The O stands for others. And the Y stands for you. So how do we have joy in the Christian life? Well, we start with Jesus. We continue to others, and then we end up at the end with us. I'm going to tell you, this is the blessed life. Which is why Proverbs 16, verse number 19, puts it this way. He says, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Humility brings blessing to you. Jesus, what would you have me do? Jesus, what does your word say about this? Others. Jesus, how can I in this situation be a blessing, be a testimony, be a help, be an edification to those around me? And then you. Jesus. Others. And I'm going to tell you, church, you can apply that filter to anything. And if you do it, it'll bring you joy. Jesus, others, you. Apply it in your marriage and see how God works. Apply it in your neighborhood and see how God works. Apply it with your finances and see how God works. Apply it at your job site and see how God works. Apply it with your parenting and see how God works. Apply it with your siblings and see how God works. Apply it with what you hear from the president or the governor or the health department and see if God's word, it works. I want to be humble. I want to be humble. Don't you? I mean, those of us who know Christ and in our hearts, don't we want to be humble? I want humility to be the manner in which I live my life, in the manner in which I love, in the manner in which I respond to good things and bad things, in the manner in which I respond to blessings as well as burdens. I want it to be humility. I want to be humble. But I'm going to tell you, nobody likes to be humbled. I want to be humble, but nobody likes to be humbled. I got to be honest, the thought of God humbling me is terrifying. Isn't it? It's like, Lord, you don't have to, Lord. I'll do it. I'll humble myself. I got this, Lord. I got this. No, that's prideful. I can't say it that way. But the thought of the Lord humbling me is terrifying. I want to be humble, but I don't want to be humbled. I'm going to tell you the greatest threat that our church faces and the greatest threat that your family faces and the greatest threat that you face is that we become more concerned about our rights than we are about our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Do you remember what the Bible says? God does what to the proud? He resists them. And I want to be more afraid of pride, being distanced from God, being resisted by God, than I am of pain. Can we go all the way back to the verse we started with? And I want you to notice something. Isaiah 57 and verse number 15, the Bible says this. First one we looked at. The Bible says, I'll find it here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Just picture that in your head. Who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy places. Notice what else it says. With him that is of a contrite. And what is it, church? The greatest threat that we face is P-R-I-D-E. Tonight we're going to have a little bit of a different invitation. I'm going to ask us, and this is our prayer time as well, to pray for three things specifically. To pray for wisdom. Because church, the landscape around us is ever changing. To pray for wisdom. To pray for strength, and to pray for humility. Because if we are willing to do the right thing the right way, we will continue to be the church that God has called us to be.